This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
They say I left the hood, but I got it on my back. Ex got it, yeah, I got it on my back. Took a trip out of town, went and got him, brought him back. Mr. El Chapo on the ground, now I'm back. Ex know, nigga, I got it on my back.
Hey, this is Steve Balton. You're here on My Turning Point, where this week, really entertaining conversation with Jeezy, talking about leadership, giving back to community, Bob Marley, his dream versus battle between Tupac and Biggie, and a lot more. Really fun conversation. Hope you dig it as much as we did.
You know, it's funny, man. I'm just looking at your Instagram, and you know, and it's funny. You do a Google search, and the stuff comes up on the Veracruz battle. And but you know what's fun, man? We're talking about the video, obviously. You know what I love about it, though, is I'm looking at your Instagram, and you're having fun. But at the same time, you are 100% recognizing the gravity of how fucked up the world is right now. And I love that you have the video that has a message, but you're having fun with the Veracruz battle. Then you also have a shout out to Nigeria. You know, talk for you about the importance of, you know, making sure that you're dealing with everything going on, that you're keeping it fun on some level, but also at the same time, recognizing the fact that right now, shit has really messed up.
Coming from where I came from, you know, you had to learn to be that way because the situation was always bad. I mean, it's worse now, of course, in the world. Because back then, it was just my neighborhood. But you know, I was just raised that way, you know, to see the best in things and to always try to express my message. So, you know, with my message right now, even in the dark, we're going to see the light. It's dark, and we all know that, but we still gonna see the light, and we gonna, you know, go about it the way we know how to go about it. If life is hard, you do it hard, you know, but have fun while you do it. For me, and the message when you say Nigeria, and you know, just what's going on in the world as far as the pandemic and bringing everything together, it's all about awareness. It's all about influence and awareness, and once you realize that you can use your influence to bring awareness, then you have to do so. And even with the video, it was more so shedding light on, you know, this is what the world has come to. This is almost a new hustle because this is what the world has come to. But if I'm going to do something like that, now, if I was to ever do it, I'm going to give it right back to the people that deserve it. You know, I'm not going to take it and make my lifestyle lavish. I'm going to give it back to the people. And hopefully they can figure out something to do with it to help someone else so they can build someone else so we can build some generational wealth around here, you know?
No, absolutely. So, you know, take us through the video a little bit because we're premiering the director's cut on Monday, you know, and obviously it starts off with that great scene with you guys going into the bank, you know, and then, you know, shooting the money around, you know, and just sort of, as you say, giving it back. I mean, so, you know, sort of take me through the idea where it came from, when you guys filmed it and everything, and you know, really, you know, what was sort of the impetus for it?
Ecosystem. I'm very in touch with my surroundings, my community, my people, and I see what goes on, and I'm like, okay, So this is what we got going. I want to shed light on it in a way that says, okay, if we're going to do this, let's just make sure we take care of our people. And I think the fact that me and Gotti come in together, you know, me and Gotti came in the game, like, through the trenches. Like, we came in the game, like, you know, from the bottom level, being street guys, you know. And we always kept a, you know, tight relationship, you know, they were beyond music. And I think the fact that I would call him up and, like, yo, I got this idea, and we're going to do some acting in it, you know what I'm saying? And he was just like, oh, okay, cool, so... You know, you're already taking up another level. Then you got two guys that really come from the struggle, and we're in suits and cashmere turtlenecks, and we're going in the bank, and we're trying to convince these people that we need this for our business, but our business is really our people. And I feel like that's a message within itself, and I didn't want to go off the bank guns blazing, and, you know, that's we corporate thugging these days. Like, we intelligent guys, you know, and we run, you know, Fortune 500 companies, and we employ a lot of our people on both ends, his companies and my companies. And I think that's a strong stance to take in this game because it's beyond the music right now. You know, we're leaders in our own right, so we're also CEOs, and we run, you know, major companies, and we have major employees. And we start talking about, you know, unemployment and people from our culture and blacks not being employed, we're trying our best to do that. So even if we was to hit a height, we would go in there just like that and suit and tie because we're intelligent enough and we got enough street smarts to pull it off. But I think that needs to be shown to the world because, you know, you think about us and where we come from, you think about thugs and crimes and you know, just, you know, all the bad things that come along with it, but you don't look at the good. And that's what we always been, Robin Hood, like modern day Robin Hood, neighborhood heroes. And we always looked out for the people that we came up with. So I wanted to show that in a video at a time where leadership is really important. Like, it's important to be a CEO and employ people. It's important to be a leader and show people how to make it through a crisis. And I think that's what we did with this video. And I also went back to the streets. Do you know that in Almond, where we come from, the biggest thing you can do in the world is buy your mother a house? Or give your auntie some grocery money, or buy you a little home and a car for college. You know what I'm saying? That's the biggest. And where are you a hero? You know, because these are things that they need, that you provide, so they can go do better. And I think to show that, because the thing you would think of when you hear a lick like that is, you know, going to the Rolls Royce dealership, going to buy a new Ferrari. We ain't doing none of that. We give it straight back to the people. You know what I mean? And that's the message. And I think that message should be spread. You know, and plus we having fun. You know, the last time you did some TVs or some shoots, you know what I'm saying? It looked good, right?
Well, you know, man, it's so interesting. For you, were there people coming up or you know, how old were you when you realized or learned that importance of giving back and realizing that, you know, being able to buy your mom a house or being able to give back even to your friends was just more important than anything that you could show off for yourself? Because I think it's something that as you learn as you get older. Was there a moment for you or people that you really looked up to growing up where you saw that and realized that giving back was way more heroic and way cooler than, you know, having a fucking Rolls Royce or whatever?
For me, you know, my mom's first home was $3,500. It was a single wide trailer on like a back road. And I hustled for months and months and gave her the $3,500 to pay it off when she first got it. She was so excited about the truck. I gave her $3,500. She paid the trailer off, and that's where we lived for most of my childhood, and me, her, and my sister. And I always dreamed of buying my mother a house, and that led to, you know, doing things to pursue that. And I just remember the first real check I got when I got my deal. The first thing I did was buy my mother a house, and that feeling to me was better than any feeling in the world because I was making sure that my queen was okay and she was good. And to me, that's the beauty of life. Like, you being in a position to help the people that raised you or either gave you life. And that just taught me a valuable lesson just growing up. And I always just been a giver. Like, I always try to make sure the people around me are good, they got what they need, if I can do anything. I mean, it's not even value rights. Like, I do things under the table that people won't even know. Just to give back because that's what my heart is like because my grandmother, you know, brought me up that way. And I believe and just valuing people. You know, just getting people how you want to be treated, but just valuing people over money. If you value people, the money will come. I mean, it's not even like that. But you value people first. And I just was raised that way. And it just grew with me. And now to this day, you know, I find myself doing things just because it's in my heart. And, you know, I get that same feeling, you know, even with, you know, the first time I gave my mom this $35,000 for the house, that's all the money I had in the world. But she was happy.
Well, it's interesting too what you say about being a leader, and we'll come on to the song in a second, but I mean, I love that because, you know, are there artists that you look to or that you admired, you know, who really sort of set that standard for being the leader and for, you know, setting an example for the community, you know, through music as well, through both music and actions?
I do. Bob Marley, I listened to the music. I finally made it to Jamaica and went to where he was raised and about. I got it. I understood what the whole Jamaican culture was about. Why they worked so hard, why they done what they did with music, and he was a leader. Everybody in his neighborhood had a story about Bob Marley. And either he walked into school or either he put his stuff on the line and he stood for something, and his integrity was always first. And with that being said, when I got into music, I brought my integrity with me. You know, this is why I never really strayed from my message. But I didn't consider it as being an artist, and I still don't to this day. Like, I never, you know, when you say rapper, that it almost offends me, you know, because I always took a position of leadership. That was it. You know, I just do what's right, you know, and that's it. You know, if it's wrong, any leader, because really a leader knows that, you know, you make mistakes and you fix them and you keep moving, but you lead and you continue to lead and you create other leaders, and that's what it's really about. So for me, I never looked at the music as music. I looked at it as a vehicle for my message, and my message was always motivation. It was always inspiration. It was always inspiring people doing aspirational things so that they can they can see a bigger picture. Because when you come from, like, this man, this kid from this single-wide trailer, that's all over the world preaching this message about, you can do it. I did it. You see, I went through adversity and I made it through. What makes me better than you? You can do it too. And that's been my message since day one. And I took a position of leadership, but that came from listening and understanding what Tupac's message was. That came from listening and understanding what Bob Marley meant. And the list goes on those guys who really stood for something, and it was beyond more than just music and making money. And when you become and you are a leader, the people come first, and the money comes when it comes. So if you put money first, then, you know, that you're not really being a leader, you're being self-serving. And I just respect those guys because they do with self-serving, and neither am I. And that's what a leader does, in my eyes.
Right. No, I agree with you. It's interesting. I mean, for you, but at the same time, you know, one of the things, this is kind of what I was getting at, and I like this. Look, you look at a guy like Bob Marley, and you look at songs like Get Up, Stand Up, or Redemption Song, or you look at a song like, it's funny, I've talked about this with people too, you look at a song like What's Going On, or you look at a song like Stevie Wonder, Living in the City. Those are songs that you can hear at 6 years old, and you're like, this is a dope song. You don't understand the message. You just understand it's a great song. To be able to deliver your message and have people hear it, you need to put it in a way that's palatable and that people enjoy it. So for you, you know, talk about the music of Back, and then, you know, how it mixes in to do things like the Veracruz battle with T.I., which I guess there's no date on it yet, but just the idea of having fun with things that you know people are going to respond to.
Well, for me, like, when you think about Marvin Gaye and What's Going On, and those records that came out during the war, and it made people, you know, come together rather than be separated. You just think about how strong your words are. And for me, you know, you just got to make sure that what you say, you can live with 10 years from now. And I, you know, real about, like, just being honest on records, you know, it's real. You know, just to me, it's just being straight up. And like you said about, you know, the versus battle, like, you know, everybody, like, catalog. I don't got no catalog. Never did. My words are real life. I stand on that, 10 toes down. Everything I said and did got blood, sweat, and tears in it. It's your time and everything else. So it ain't even music to me. It's life. It's real life. And that's what I stand on. Like, and if I say it, I mean it. And it's real life to me. And when I look at Marvin Gaye and listen to what those guys were talking about, that was real life. He said, what's going on? We got to really you know, there's emotion in that. And you know, all my music has emotion in it, emotions and pain and triumph and you know, just let ups and letdowns and adversity and fighting back. And, you know, that's why I don't even call it a catalog. It's real life, almighty.
So it's interesting for you. By the way, I have to ask, is back leading up to an album, or is it just something? Because that's one of the fun things that exists in 2020, or, you know, or has existed for a few years now. But it's like you put out an album in 2019, put out a mixtape in 2020. If there's a song that you feel is important to deliver at this time, you can just drop that shit right now versus waiting on an album, whatever. But I mean, do you have a lot of music coming right now? Because, you know, one of the things I've talked about too with artists, man, a lot of artists have felt very prolific during this pandemic, because once you got going, it was interesting for a lot of artists. Yeah. They felt at the beginning they weren't really sure what was happening. And then once they realized that this was going to be an extended thing and that they were going to be not able to tour for some time, you know, not only did artists find that they were really, you know, creating a lot of music, but felt very free to do different stuff because they weren't on the album tour promotion cycle, you know. So for you... Has there been a lot of music, and have you been prolific during this time?
I mean, you know, I'm always going to be prolific, but for the most part, I've been on the front line with the, you know, just when everything hit and everything went haywire, you know, as March in Atlanta, I was there. When it was time to do rallies, I was there. When it was time to make calls, I was there. So for me, it was more so about people during the pandemic and even now. And I mean, you know, whatever came musically came. But when I get ready to, you know, inform people on what's going on, you'd be the first to know. I'll get you on the phone and give you the whole plate. You know what I'm saying? So I can see. But for now, I'm just focused on, you know, the people and all the things I got coming up. But, you know, and just on this back, because I just feel like, you know, I feel like the song was, you know, was great. Shakira Stewart, who always told me, rest in peace. If I had a song that was radio club street, that's the song that should be playing for me. And I just feel like this record, I just wanted to do, put a visual to it, to go with the times and to make people understand what my message was. And that's what the focus is like right now today, you know, if I'm honest.
Right. No, it makes total sense. And again, that's what I was saying is like, you know, you can release a song right now that speaks to the times.
Yeah,
you know.
That's the beauty of it.
All right, so for now, and I mean, obviously, look, we've got, you know, the biggest election in, you know, most people say the biggest election in anybody's lifetime coming up in 11 days. So for you, since you say it's all about the people, are there things that you're doing to get out the vote or that have been important to you or be involved in Atlanta?
Yeah, I mean, actually, I've been teamed up with the NAACP, the Georgia chapter, to help them with their voting thing. I've been teamed up with Biden to get people out to vote. It's just one of those things. Like, I just want to be active. I don't want to tell people what to do or how they should move, but I just want to make sure that they're aware of what's going on, just how serious this is, and that we have to be involved, and we can't sit back. We just have to get in the routine of being able to go out here and make our voices be heard when it's time to do so. So I'm just encouraging people just to get out of their houses and get out of their heads and get out here and make a difference. If you feel how you feel, you know, it's okay, man, go put it on the polls. And I think it's serious. As a culture, like, you know, we're strong, and we tend to, you know, join forces when we be. So I just feel like voting is one of these things you got to join forces on and really get out here in numbers and let our voices be heard. And I've been pretty much teamed up with anybody who really is serious about what they're doing.
Cool. So, by the way, I've mentioned it a couple times, but is the battle going to happen? Do you know if it's official yet, or you don't know yet?
I'm waiting on the day, baby. I'm waiting on the date. You feel me? I'm waiting on the date.
All right, so for you, by the way, were there any of the battles you watched in the first season that really stood out to you? Well, this is going to be a two-part question. One, any that you watched? Two, you know, since we talked about some great iconic singers, you know, if you could watch any two people in the history of music battle for fun, obviously, who would it be?
I would definitely be Big and Pop.
Nice. Big so you didn't have to sure. think about that.
Yeah, because I just feel like there was so much tension between, you know, the powers that be, and I don't really think the tension was really with them, but they both were before their time, and we really never got a chance to enjoy them or their music like we should, because there was always some stigma around it. So if it ever been a time they could fit in the same room and play some of their best hit, I think that would have been the biggest gangster party in the whole world. You know what I'm saying? The whole world would have been tuned in. You feel know I me? Mean? Definitely for myself, the love is death. And of course, they had two different types of music, but you know, they both you know, just brought so much to the culture. You know, you can't deny it. You know, so I would love to see that.
Cool. And were there any last season that you saw that really stood out to you or that kind of inspired you to want to do it?
Diversity?
Yeah.
I watched a few of them. I thought the Teddy Riley one was dope. I thought the fact that Babyface went back and it was really classy of him. You know what I mean? Because a lot of people would have been like, yo, that was the first time, I'm good. But that was dope. The Monica and Brandy one was dope. It was dope. You know, they brought out the props. But it was cool. I mean, I just think it's good for the culture. You know, it's good for the people, especially at a time like now. Music is all, if you don't know that. Like I said, when it was the best music came out. And now we're in the middle of a pandemic, something that none of us has ever seen. And some of the best things that happened, you know, people are being thinking outside the box. Even with this idea of doing these types of celebrations, it's outside of the box. It ain't normal. If everybody was still moving around in the world, it probably wouldn't resonate the same. But it does, because people have time to sit back and really think about the times when they heard the music and what it made them feel like, you know?
Yeah. No, obviously, and it's funny because, like you say, I mean, music is one of those things that, especially during this time, you know, where it becomes even more important. And, you know, it's funny because at the beginning of the pandemic, I think a lot of people were not sure if they should release music or how to handle it because they weren't sure if they could tour or how to promote it. And I think for a lot of people realize that it's become, you know, just like you say, it's a healing thing.
Yeah, but if you ask me, you know, everything happens for a reason. You know, most people lost their mind and people been sick. But this is something that's taking the pot, you know. This is shaking the pot. This is making us think different. This is making us move different. This is making us work different. You know, I ain't never been on so many calls in my life. You know, I never, you know what I mean? It's just making you just reconfigure everything about the way we were. And me, I'm big on adversity. You know, I'm big on overcoming. I'm big on evolving. And I feel this is time for everybody to evolve. So when we come out of this pandemic, if you're better than you was when it first kicked off, then you're doing what you're supposed to do. You know, but other than that, back, baby. Yo, Gotti, the big snow is going down. You know, I'm excited. The video should be dropping right about now. And, yeah, you know, giving back is the new gangster.
Cool. Anything you want to add that I didn't ask you?
No. We good, big talk.
Cool, man. Good talking to you. I enjoyed the conversation a lot.
For sure.
Hey, this is Steve Balton. You've been here on My Turning Point with special guest Jeezy. Hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Thanks.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.